ebook publishers and marketing services company, Just Imagine It, Inc. presents Get Behind Me, Now Stay There, your favorite fun-filled, informative podcast available on iTunes, PRX, and right here locally on KSKQ 89.5 FM, Ashland, Oregon, art and entertainment news and views. Today's podcast is brought to you by the fine folks at Downpour.com, the one stop for all your audio and digital book needs. Join the Downpour Audiobook Club and save up to 50% on digital downloads, exclusive member-only deals and promotions with no commitment, and you can cancel at any time. Only $12.99 per month. That's Downpour.com. On this episode, Kevin Lucas joins us again after his new album, Echoes in the Sand, hits the streets. Francina Lucas's new book, In Love with the Other Man, and New York Times bestseller, Are You Afraid of the Dark?, in our audiobook feature right after the news you want to know.
People say she's crazy, she got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Well, that's one way to lose these walking blues. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. She's physically forgotten, but then she slipped into my pocket with my car keys. She said, you've taken me for granted because I please you.
Hello, I'm Charlie Stanton.
I'm Chrissy McIntyre.
I'm Sarah Simerson.
I'm Holly Lorian Adams.
I'm Jerry Renfro.
And I'm Maya Seligman. Here's a look at our top stories in the art and entertainment world. Have you ever been to Klamath County? It has mountains and deserts and rivers and Crater Lake National Park.
Yeah.
Really a very colorful history. And the area got a really nice brush with the movie industry recently because actors and production crews, they shot scenes there for the film Brother-in-Laws. It includes Bill Pullman of Independence Day, Rita Wilson, and some Saturday Night Live stars. Most of the shooting, it took place at a cabin at Lake of the Woods, but then downtown Klamath Falls, they had their main street closed, and the filming took place in some residential areas and the downtown streets for a full weekend. So it's interesting, the local officials, like, they went out of their way to really help them because it gave a boost to the economy. The estimate was that $700,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what the movie producers
said. That's what happens when you have Bobby Moynihan, you know, hanging around.
Yeah, cool. And it was interesting because I can imagine being there as a local, it would be really fun. They were kind of hoping to see the celebrity or even get in the movie.
Yeah, it was on the local news. They had a salon owner. And her business was going to be featured in the movie.
Mm.
And she was. She was really excited, talking about this. And the one thing that she said that they made her do was to make sure that the paintings in her salon could be put into the movie without any kind of copyright stuff, you know.
So maybe she should have asked for some, compensation.
I'm sure some people probably would have loved to get that exposure.
Yeah. Have you ever seen, reality TV shows? Sometimes when they're filming in certain places, you'll see things that are fuzzed out on walls.
Yep, totally.
It's so funny. When you see it, you're like, oh, I guess they didn't get the rights for that.
Yeah.
I saw that on Dating Naked, yeah.
There were probably some other parts.
There were some things that were fuzzed out, and I'm wondering what was going on.
A lot of fuzzy.
Yeah.
Dating Naked.
But you know what? That's a great thing for Klamath Falls. And, when here in Ashland, we've had, with Reese Witherspoon filmed Wild here, and
what was the movie we saw?
You were in that movie, right?
Yeah. I was out there taking pictures, for sure.
I was out there running around trying to get an autograph. They had really a lot of high security with that.
Redwood Highway?
Redwood Highway is another one. Mm-hmm. That's got Tom Skerritt.
Yeah.
But the feeling, it was like my son, Josh, he went to London. He goes there several times. Skyfall, I think, was the latest James Bond movie.
Mm.
Anyway, I said, and I asked him if he wanted to go see that movie, and he said, I saw it in London. And I go, oh, man. And I asked him how it was, and he goes, it was so trippy. He goes, because I saw it in London. and I come out of the theater and I'm on the exact same streets wow. where they filmed the movie.
Oh, epic. Oh, did you know that there is a webcam on Abbey Road where the Beatles shot the album cover of them crossing the street, the four of them? And so my friend Rusty, he was there and I missed
friend
it.
Rusty.
Yeah, he was Rusty. There and he someone was, you know, he had friends who were on their computer and they took screenshots to document that there he was, sure enough, crossing so the street.
Nice.
Yeah, well, I did sign up for when they had Wild here, and they were asking for extras. I signed up, and now I get emails, you know, every once in a while. And, most of the productions are up in Portland for, like, Grimm or something. You know, I just need extras or, you know, they put out casting calls all the time.
Yeah, Maya, get on the casting list. You'll get tons of emails.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? You really will. Yeah. I mean, it's like I volunteered to carry Reese Witherspoon's backpack around with everyone in the
building. I want to be an extra on the reality shows. Does that count?
Oh, my gosh.
I saw it was in New York. They got like Marvel characters, you know, cartoon characters, people walk down and they take pictures with them and stuff like
yes,
that.
They do.
Yeah, well, I heard
it. And then they get beat up.
Right.
Then they mug them, right?
That's what I was hearing.
Hey, you didn't give me a tip. What do you think? This is for free?
And that's how they get their new Apple i6 phones.
Yeah, exactly. And you can stream all these like wonderful fights on your phone. It's wonderful. Oh, it just makes me happy to be, you know, a New Yorker. So funny and silly. Oh, my God. But, yeah, if you want to, yeah, they have all these videos are online. You can stream everything. And, of course, if you do it with your phone. But there was one, you know, of course, this Apple iPhone launch. I mean, it's just taken over the news. But there was one really funny thing that they produced this new phone. It's bigger. It's got the Apple, the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus, right? One is 4.7 inches and one is 5.5 inches big. Got all these new products. And when they went to go and announce this, they had this big streaming video and, you know, people all over the world would be able to watch this video and the feed completely broke. And
oh, no.
Here we have Apple. It is the most like elite, big time brand of technology.
But you
and
can really
the live
trust.
Stream just cut out every few minutes. And would switch to those color bars. Charlie, you remember those color, like a TV
yeah,
bar,
I do.
You know. I mean, it's like the old time TV. Like when TV stopped, you would get the color bars or something. It's just so, it was really funny. So people were all excited about watching this thing. And everybody on the tweetosphere, they just had the most horrible things to say, you know. Like Apple's live stream is so advanced, it's not supported by anything. So I guess it's good to know, really. They're not taking over the world just yet. They haven't got everything figured out. There's still room for us guys out there.
Yeah, they're not infallible. You
know. Yeah, they're not. Exactly.
What would an Apple Watch be like? Like so you'd
it's
be
got
able to
like it's basically the same kind of thing. You could do a lot of different things on it, but it's also got
live streaming.
Like a Fitbit, you know, so you can, it's like a fitness tracker and you could do like a lot. It's like, I think like a healthy thing. So I've heard like you can keep track of your weight and your
how
like
many
diabetes or something. I don't know. Like
how many
sugar,
miles
all this
walked
kind of stuff.
Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
How
far
you
walked,
how much movement you
exercise.
Have during the day.
But basically you could do everything you can do on an iPhone. It's just like in a watch. Have that at the ready.
You don't want to forget it. That's for sure. You know, and that's another problem with baby boomers and stuff.
Well, today's just my day, isn't it?
You know, you become very forgetful as you get older. You know, you need your phone to tell you things. But,
your
you
keys
know.
Are in the left-hand drawer.
Your glasses are on your head.
I will take a selfie to prove it to you.
Remember to wear your pants outside today.
Yeah, but if you get Alzheimer's, it might be too late. So, you know, and right now, Julianne Moore, a lot of people, yeah, a lot of people love her. She's got a new drama out called Still Alice, which explores the disease. Moore plays Dr. Alice Howland, a 50-year-old college professor who's diagnosed with Alzheimer's. The drama is based on a 2007 novel from author and neuroscientist Lisa Genova. And the executive producer is Maria Shriver,
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, everyone's really looking forward to this. It should be a, you know, a great production. This isn't just a disease in the corner. This is a big deal, Shriver said in commenting about this project. She has spent many years trying to bring this issue to the forefront, because this isn't something that happens to people in their 90s. This happens to people all across the country in their 50s and 60s, and yes, baby boomers. You know, it's a really sad disease. You slowly lose your intellectual capabilities and have a hard time, you know, recognizing people that you've known for years, you know, your family members and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, and it's and for Maria Shriver, for our listeners out there, she used to be Mrs. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And she's a Kennedy.
Yeah, she's one of the Kennedys. But, you know, it could affect a lot of people, you know, in the beginning stages of it. You know, a lot of people will just laugh it off, like, oh, that's his grandpa. He just, you know, he forgot. And you don't know, you know, it's like, am I being forgetful, or is that an ordinary thing? Like, you know, I'm standing in the supermarket aisle and I'm like, what did I come in here for? You know, what am I doing here for? You know,
and then, yeah, I do that all the time. It makes me so nervous.
I know. Well, you can make an appointment with me, because old Doc's standing there. Well, you know,
So for Alzheimer's, is it only like a short-term memory, or
no? It's all of it.
All of it. Yeah, so all memory.
Yeah, it's like any disease. It starts off slow and it progresses. And you know, I've had people in our family that have had it where, in the beginning, it just seems like forgetfulness. And they used to call it senility.
Dementia.
Or dementia. Yeah. Right? It's like you don't know what you're doing and why you're doing it. And then, like, you know, the extreme examples are, you know, your son comes in to talk to you and you don't know who are you.
Oh, wow.
You know, but I mean, like, you know, President Reagan had it, you know, and, you know, he was president of the United States. And when he said, you're like, well, I just don't know. You know, he meant it.
Yeah, he did.
He really did. And there was a great movie called The Notebook, a romance, a tragedy that the husband is reading to the wife from their memoirs and reminding her on the daily of their life together. And she just thinks that he's a stranger reading her a story. Mm. It's really, really well done.
Yeah, you know, and that would be such a trip, because, like, you know, it's you won't know. If you have it, you're unaware of it. You know, it's like, you know, every day is my birthday, you know.
Does it happen for younger people too, or is it only
by aging? But it's very rare.
Because I'm starting to think, I mean, I don't know. I won't.
Yeah, it's a very rare thing for it to happen to a younger person, you know. I mean, it's something to do with the chemicals in the brain as you age, in the aging process.
Whereas a brain injury would likely indicate something for a younger person as an issue, as opposed to Alzheimer's.
Right. Alzheimer's is a chemical disease that happens in your brain as you age.
A lot of people have gotten a good knock on the head, and that makes you behave completely differently as well, in which case short memory, long memory, all those things can be affected for younger people because they forgot that they hit their head on the cabinet when they were getting out of bed a couple weeks ago or whatever, and all of a sudden they're not thinking clearly, but it really scrambles your brain. It really can.
Yeah, like the concussions, you know, people have a concussion. And
that's way more common, is that long-term things from short-term injuries. You know, you think your concussion's gone, but really you're just not thinking quite clearly after that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's
all players. It reminds me of a scene from a movie on Golden Palm, which you guys probably never saw because it was, you know.
I love that movie.
I love it too.
Okay. But there's this, you know, scene in there where Henry Fonda.
Norman.
Yes. Well, there's a scene in there where he's just.
You won't poop. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I love the movie too, you know, and they have the scene where he's talking to the kid and he goes, hey, Treasure Island, you ever read it? And he said, no. And he goes, well, go read it and give me a report. And the kid's like, what? And then he goes, have you read it? And he goes, oh, I've read it before too, but they tell me I'm losing my mind, so it'll all be new to me.
Yeah. It was such an endearing movie too, because it was Jane and her dad doing the movie, and it really felt much more real.
I saw her on a TED Talk. And she was talking about getting older, right? And she's like in her 70s now.
Yeah.
Like 77 or something like that. And in the talk, she said, when my father passed away, people asked me a lot about how it affected her, right? we know how it affected him. But dead. Yeah. And she said, you know, you expected to hear, or at least I expected to hear something like, you know, what was, you know, I loved him, you know, so sad, my dad passed away and stuff like that. She goes, it had a profound effect on me because even though I had those normal feelings of grief and sadness that my father had left this world, she goes, it also put into perspective that I'm next in line.
Wow. There's an event that happened that certainly was thriving with young people. And this was recently the Colorado resort town Crested Butte. It was the set for a filming of a Bud Light commercial. It's a quaint historic town, and the population is only 1,500 people. And it practically doubled for a weekend when more than 1,200 people were flown in for the shooting of the commercial. And the beer giant, they paid $500,000 to paint it blue, and they kind of revamped the town into this fictional Whatever USA. It's for their Up for Whatever campaign. Some of the things that they had there, it sounds like it was basically a bunch of fun things for adults because they had a life-size chessboard. There was a human bowling alley. There was a life-size game of beer pong. And literal drag racing, like go-karts. They were captained by drag queens.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I want to go to that.
There, an out-of-towner, they bragged, I took a selfie with a llama. I mean, there's everything.
I took a selfie with a llama?
Yeah, there was a petting zoo. You know, of course. You want always want that. Volleyball and a cowboy statue, all sorts of stuff. So it sounds like it was a lot of fun. But the thing that happened is that afterwards there was a problem because can you imagine a town of 1,500? You know the airport isn't going to be that big. Hmm. They have 1,200 people that come in for the weekend. They all want to leave at the same time on Sunday. I have a feeling they're not going to get out of there. And indeed, they had trouble leaving because basically the travel delays happened at the airport. And it was because they all tried to leave at once, and it was a small airport. And the private security company, they fell behind on the screening requirements. And so, you know, a lot of visitors, they complained about it on social media and stuff. Anheuser-Busch, they ended up paying for accommodations for those who missed it. So it's interesting because some of the locals, they loved it. They got to totally party down and have fun with all this stuff. Others, they were a little bit bitter to have so much activity going on in their home turf.
Those were the baby boomers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Get off my lawn.
Oh, man. It's such a beautiful little town, though, if you've ever driven
through
there.
Have you been there?
I have, in Crested Butte. I used to live in Breckenridge. For about 10 years, I lived in Breckenridge. And it's a little bit like Telluride in the fact that there's a one-way in and a one-way out. Mm. And you can drive through it, but it's not really a through-way kind of place. Mm. So really tiny, tiny little town. And I imagine that it just transformed beautifully for what they were looking for.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I read there were no fast food restaurants there.
There's none. There's a sign. Same thing with Breckenridge. I think that they finally opened a 7-Eleven the year I moved there in 1998. Mm. And that was the first 24-hour business that they had in 1998.
Wow.
So the same thing in Crested Butte. They're very proud of that. Yeah.
Telluride. I love Telluride. They have a festival every weekend.
Oh, yeah. Gorgeous place too.
Seriously, they every year, they have a you know, every weekend has a some sort of festival. And they had one weekend out of the year that didn't have it. And so they made it a festival called the, you know, the Telluride. This is our weekend festival or something. So that every weekend they have one, and it's in northern Colorado. It's really cool. Colorado's a cool place.
Wow. Sounds fun.
That's a box canyon, too. One way in, one way out.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine that being a nightmare for these travelers. Yeah. You know, you go there like, woo.
Party
like,
down.
Yeah, drinking, partying, and then like you're all hungover and you're tired and you're cranky.
You want to get home.
And you can't. Yeah. Yeah. There's a bunch of other people like that, too. Yeah, I mean, it must, yeah.
Yeah, it would probably make a few people grumpy.
Yeah. It can ruin your weekend.
I don't know. If I was on Anheuser-Busch side, I'd say, look, dude, this is not your first time you've had a hangover.
Yeah, right.
We're putting you up, you know, in a hotel, and we're flying you out, and we're paying you to be here, so, you know, roll with the punches.
Could you relax a little bit?
You got to dance with a gorilla. Come on.
Yeah, get your photo taken with a llama, you know.
Your llama selfie. Come on. Look at that thing. Well, in the wake of the nude photo leaks that several celebrities have experienced, their nude bodies all over the internet. Apple is promising to tighten up the security on its iCloud service. And but Jimmy Kimmel had a little different idea. He thought, you know, maybe Suri's not really tough enough on this kind of stuff. Maybe they need to introduce Siri's cousin or brother, Vito. Yeah, do you ever see my cousin Vito?
Yeah, Morristown, New Jersey.
Yeah. So Vito takes a little harder line when somebody tries to upload a nude selfie. He kind of jumps in there and he's like, listen, maybe you don't want to be doing this kind of thing. Like, don't upload this photo. And of course, this is all a joke. This doesn't actually happen. But, you know, it might be a good idea to maybe we just need to have a voice from the phone saying, you really want to upload this photo? You know, it's going on the cloud, right? Where people are hacking into it all the time.
Is there body recognition? Is there body part recognition?
Yeah,
going
I guess
on?
So. Yeah. Well, you have to tag your boobs, right? Your bits.
It should just call your mom if it's doing it.
Yeah, Vito come on there going, yeah, you really want to do that?
Are you sure you want to put this picture? Listen, Anthony Weiner, you really want to put this picture in? Are you sure? He could have used that service there, I'm telling you.
He could have used that as an excuse. You know what? I was just having fun. I thought Vito would come in and take care of it, but I know?
I paid for this service. Vito, you're supposed to help me out. Come on, let's do this. And he didn't come in. He could have definitely used that. You know, he'd still be in the Senate.
Could have saved his career.
Yeah, it would have been a career saver. Yeah. Oh,
boy. You know, but speaking of the Big Apple and all that stuff, you know, it's been a huge, you know, week for Apple. And, you know, Cyrus, you know, has a story he wants to tell us about Apple.
Yeah, well, you know, we all know now about the iPhone 6 coming out and, you know, the iWatch. One band that has helped bring that to our attention is U2. Once again, in stunning fashion, just as they did in 2004 for the iPod with their song Vertigo. They are on TV performing a miracle. And not only that, they have released their new album, Songs of Innocence, for free to every person on iTunes. That's over 500 million subscribers across 119 countries. It's the largest album release of all time. So, you know, go out there, download the album on your iPhone 6.
You don't even need to download it. I was looking through my iTunes, and it was there. If you have iTunes, it will automatically put it into your computer.
I've heard that. Yeah, that's populating.
I was like, what? Come on.
I have the iPhone, and it's not iPhone 6, and it downloaded it. I happen to like YouTube, so it was great. But, you know, Apple has since put out a patch where you can take it off, you know, and it doesn't download to, you know, all the phones. It just makes it an option there for you if you want to download it for free.
I would hope so.
You know, and they were, you know, they thought they were doing it, and U2 thought they were doing, like, you know, big service to people, like, hey, you can have this album for free. And, you know, in their defense, they're like, hey, if you don't want it, man, it's like one swipe of the finger. I mean, how difficult is it? You know, you swipe your finger, and it's like, delete. Okay, it's gone. You know?
But slightly creepy to populate your phone with music you didn't request.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and U2 is supposed to be such a popular band, you know, for them to have people saying they don't want their music. I mean,
well, look, they are a very popular band, but they're, you know, not everybody's into rock and roll.
I mean, I really like them and I like the music, but it's like having someone come over and say, I'm ready for the date. And be in my bedroom, you know. It's like I want to have some say in the matter. I don't know if I want to go on a date with you. Hang on a second.
Too soon.
I mean, I just need to have a voice and a choice in it.
Yeah, you know, that's true for, you know, a lot of the new things that they do. But you know what? It's with one thing that Apple does. Well, I have Apple phones, so I'll complain about that. Is like, you know, they're always updating their software, and every time you update your software, it just messes everything up, you know, and it crashes and things like that. But they're not the only ones that do that. And I think a lot of it is, you know, because you guys probably haven't grown up with this, but, you know, a lot of this stuff is just how they get the content across, you know, it's like when you buy a television set, it's preloaded with Pandora, it's preloaded with Netflix, it's preloaded with all this stuff. You're like, hey man, I don't want Netflix. Mm. I don't want Pandora. What's it doing on my TV? Nobody asked me about it.
Mm.
You know, but it's on there. Facebook's on there. All that stuff's on there, but it's only there if you want to use it. If you don't want to use it, don't use it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know?
And yeah. So I think that's what Apple was trying to do. They were trying to make like a nice gift. What's, you know, a band that's so popular that we, you know, we can feel safe that everybody, you know, right. will not object to it.
Yeah, totally.
Like, you know, they put on like, hey, we just downloaded the new Nine Inch Nails CD to everybody.
Yeah. Well, you know, I liked what Apple CEO Tim Cook said about it. He said, music runs deep in Apple's DNA and runs through the core of all of our products. And that's true. I mean, iTunes, you know, the iPod, you know, which became the iPhone, is really what, you know, helped create the Apple brand, you know, and make it so much larger. You know, you had Macintosh, you know, you had an Apple computer, but until, you know, they brought in music and became, you know, a media supplier as well, you know, they weren't what they are now. You know what?
Even before iTunes and all that, Apple was a big music backer. I mean, they backed the US Festival.
Oh.
You know, and they lost millions and millions of dollars on it. But they wanted to do it. It was in Southern California. It was like a million people there, like a Woodstock thing. And they backed it. Wow. And they put up all the money for it. And they had the big acts of the day were like, you know, Van Halen and...
So they support that industry.
Yeah, they are big music buffs.
Yeah, and I still have like my first iPod, and it's big, clunky, heavy, and it is like kind of fuzzy and stuff. But I can't get rid of it because I'm like, oh, I have an emotional attachment to it. But what should I do with it?
You should pass it down to your kids.
Yeah, well, you know, it could probably end up in a museum or something. Yeah.
Do you have the original packaging? The original plan? Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I saw a real funny cartoon, you know, I'll describe for our listeners out there is that there was two smartphones walking down, you know, a big smartphone, like, you know, and then a smaller smartphone walking down the halls in a museum. And on the wall was a picture of a telephone, right? An old phone with a cord. Mm-hmm. And the captions, the father says to the smaller one, he goes, "That's right. Our ancestors used to have tails."
Oh, my God. That's so funny. That cracks me up. You know, getting back to this commercial and, you know, you too, right? I mean... U2 is one of the biggest bands, you know, in the world. You know, they have been for some time, but they haven't had an album out since 2009. So this is their first album in over 5 years or close to 5 years, you know. So a lot of their fans are really excited about that. And what a way to release it, you know, with a new iPhone 6 on national TV on a commercial. And the album, according to U2.com, was recorded in Dublin, London, New York, and Los Angeles. So here they are, you know, some of the great, you know, musicians of our time. You know, they got all this money, they got all this time, you know, and they can travel around to different studios and locations and, you know, just really put, you know, all their energy and effort into this recording. So, you know, that I'm sure that the album is good if you're a U2 fan. You know, I'm sure it harkens back to the what you remember, you know, Joshua Tree, you know, it's going to be another great U2 album.
Well, you know what? I've heard it, and the song that they have, Miracle, is a thing about Joey Ramone from the Ramones. And here, we'll even put in a little clip here so our listeners know what we're talking about. So. I woke up at the moment when the miracle occurred. But the thing about, you know, U2 is this. It's like, you know, you are a huge band and you have a big heart when you're like, you know what? We're so big and they can make millions and hundreds of millions of dollars on their sales and are like, we're going to give it away.
Yeah, so that's what comes to mind for me is if they've put all that into a new album, how do they make money if everyone gets it for free?
They don't need the money.
Because they, on tour, they probably get a lot of money.
If they do. They haven't announced a tour, but... It's just not a lot of artists are like, you know what, Paul McCartney's not going to give away his new stuff, you know, you know, the Jay-Z and Beyonce aren't going to give away, you know, their stuff. It just is something that they're like, hey, this is great for technology. And you know what? We started with this thing. And here's our gift to you. You can have the album for free.
It makes me want to do some detective work. I think there's something behind it.
All right. We're going to have Masa Lemina and, you know, Private PI. She is going to look into this and we'll have a full report for you on our next show.
It'll be like a new baby boomer show, like Maya Investigates. So it'll be out there.
Maybe Bono will pop up in my bedroom.
There you go.
Yeah. Scandal.
I'll wait to hear all sides before I make any decisions.
Good. A nice objective opinion.
Yes.
Well, I like the album because I like the band, and it's all new music, and it was good.
Time is Art with Holly Lorien Adams.
Time is Art. On December 22, 2012, we saw an end of the 26,000-year cycle for the Mayan calendar. However, we entered into a new cycle, one which we consider time to be art. Exploring the concepts of time as art, we can find many examples of how artists literally use time to create their art in magical ways. Turning our attention to the autumn sky, no, not the one above us this time of year, but the radiant modern-day visionary artist Autumn Skye Morrison. Born in Nova Scotia, Autumn has been painting since she could hold a brush. Now residing in Powell River, British Columbia, we can find her capturing transformative images of beauty. Beginning with a blank canvas, we witness a painting evolve, blossom, and come to life over time. Her images have been captured and organized into time-lapsed creations, which can be found in videos such as Healing and Harmonic Transformation. Both videos, under 3 minutes, consist of 1,300 photos and 100 hours of painting time condensed into stunning finished products, showing the full journey of a painting in fantastic ways. Her website features a gallery of works, which can be seen from start to completion. It's astounding to witness these still shots coming together to unfold such tremendous, beautiful images. These images and videos can be found at www.autumnskymorrison.com. Moving further south into California, we found another incredible artist using time on his side, Android Jones. Android Jones is in the forefront of the electro-mineralist art movement, a wave of artists whose medium is electricity, and their hardware and tools are forged from mining elements found deep inside the earth. Android's body of work aims to emphasize creativity as the foundation of consciousness and an agent of social change. As an electro-mineralist, Android builds on a technical developments of the past in art history while pushing the boundaries of the imagination with new technologies and media forms. Moving beyond the traditional organic vegetable and animal technologies of pencils, paper, ink, and brushes, Android develops latent possibilities within software programs such as Painter, Photoshop, ZBrush, and Alchemy, discovering new combinations and uses for tools that exceed original intentions of their programmers. As an experienced designer, Android has contributed to films, games, and building communities in person and online with his interactive installations that have enchanted tens of thousands of people at events like Boom and Burning Man. Also, more notably, his artwork was featured at the Sydney Opera House in Australia, performing with a full orchestra while projecting his images on the side of the Sydney Opera House. You can find images from Android Jones at his website, www.androidjones.com. These artists and many like them are utilizing art as time. Time is art. Be inspired. Inspire others. Live your masterpiece. Time is art.
And that's your art and entertainment news. Keep listening for Downpour's special feature. Yeah.
Fizz, Katy Perry, Juicy J. Let's rave.
I knew you were, you were gonna come to me.
And here you are,
but you better choose carefully.
'Cause
I'm capable of anything.
Kevin Lucas worked with a dream team to complete the recently released album Echoes in the Sand. He spoke about it with the president of Just Imagine Inc., Charlie Stanton, in this interview.
Love that guy.
Welcome, everybody, to another exciting interview with musical guest Kevin Lucas from the Kevin Lucas Orchestra, and he's here to talk to with us about his new CD, Echoes in the Sand. Welcome, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, it's going great. You know, I have your CD. I've listened to it many, many times. The music is just beautiful on it. And, you know, I'm sure I've asked you before, but my favorite track on the CD is Echoes in the Sand, because I love the vocal mix on that. It's just so good.
Yeah, I agree.
Is there one that stands out more for you, that is more enjoyable for you to play?
Well, I like them all differently. You know, the album's very diverse, and I like the vocals and Echoes in the Sand. But instrumentally, I really like Ocean's Rising. I just think that's such a cool instrumental production. So, and then, you know, as a ballad, I really like Little Man, and then I like New World Orchestra for its instrumentation, like as a, it's kind of like a beautiful soundtrack type of song. So, you know, it's hard to pick which one I like the best.
Right.
But I would probably say, you know, Ocean's Rising is probably my favorite.
Ocean's Rising is probably your favorite. Here's what we're going to do. For our listening audience out there, we're going to play a little bit of Echoes in the Sand. Now, you've done this for Revelations Studios, right?
Yeah, it was actually Revolution Studios in India produced it, and I recorded here in Southern Illinois in the Thunder Studio. So it was both studios, the one here in Southern Illinois and then the one in India, were both in on the project.
You got some fantastic musicians on here. You know, you got Walter Kellerman on the flute. He was one of our personal favorites. We've had him on the show before, and he is just a fantastic artist.
Yeah, Wooter's great. He actually played on one song. He played on Babylon. And then the other flute tracks are by Budo from India. And he's incredible, too. So we've got two great flute players on the album.
And who else is working on this album with you?
Well, Revolution Studios basically wrote the album, recorded it and sent it to me, and then I added about 40 to 60 tracks per song with percussion, and I did the final arrangements of the songs. You know, it's been, there's a lot of great artists on the CD, and, you know, Alexis D'Souza on the vocals on Little Man, and of course, Wooter Kellerman, you know, Budo on flute, and then Devin on the vocals on Echoes in the Sand. So it's been an honor working with all these people, and it was almost like a dream team, you know, of musicians. And I'm very honored because this, you know, the album was kind of designed around my playing and my arranging, so I was able to take all my percussion tracks and add all the virtuosity and, you know, really showcase my ability to play percussion and marimba using this music as a means to do that.
Well, you know what, for all of our listening audience out there, you know, and we're going to put this on our website at justimagineinc.com, and ink is spelled I-N-K. We're going to put on Echoes in the Sand video, because the video is just fabulous, it's just fantastic, awesome. I don't know what kind of adjective you want to use, but it showcases everybody. And then one of the things that draws it out to me when I'm watching it is when I see you play, You make it sound, you know, beautiful, but you make it look so effortlessly. And I mean, dude, I know that that's got to be really hard to do.
Yeah, you know, I've been doing this for a lot of years, and I was taught at a young age to always make the difficult passages look easy and make the easy passages look important. So that's pretty much the key to performing. You know, I had 2 gigs at the Illinois State Fair this week, and man, my hands are just shot. I got blisters all over them and, you know, aches in my joints. And so, you know, you train your body to do it and to make it look easy, but you still feel the pain because you're, you know, the marimba is a very physical instrument, especially if you do what I'm trying to do. A lot of marimba players just play concert hall style music, and it's a very light touch. You know, but when you're playing my style of music, world, and with electric instruments and a whole orchestra, you really gotta project for it to come through in the mix. So it's really a different style of playing. It's a very physical style of playing that I do, and very athletic style. But I really enjoy it because I really like having the athleticism combined with the musicality. I think it's really cool because I think our entire bodies should be a means to make music, not just your hands or your fingers, you know, but letting your entire being get into what you're doing. And that's what I like to do.
So what's next for you? Besides, we know we're playing the fair, and, you know, the Echoes in the Sand is the new CD that's available wherever Five Music is sold. You can get the links will be on, you know, Just Imagine It, Inc. And I'm assuming you can pick this up, you know, from your website.
Yes. KevinLucasOrchestra.com, and also if you just Google Kevin Lucas Orchestra, you can find all the videos. And, you know, right now I've got 3 videos up on my page for the Echoes in the Sand album. I'm sorry, 2 for Echoes in the Sand and 1 for my Apocalypse from last year. But I just filmed a new music video a couple weeks ago that's in production right now. It's a video for Oceans Rising. It's a live in the studio performance, and it's going to be very cool, very physical, and very, very intense.
Can't wait to see it. Yeah, you know, you have a guitarist on Little Man, and I think his name is Paul Spieriger. Maybe you could tell us a little bit of background about him, because he is phenomenal.
Yeah, Paul did an amazing job on that track. He's a kind of a pop rock style guitar player, instrumentalist, and he's a Grammy nominated guitarist. He is just phenomenal. He's really good at coming up with moods and soundscapes, and just amazing. It kind of reminds me of a David Gilmour style of guitar. But he played the track on Little Man, did a great job, and it's basically brought that song to a new level because it was sort of an adult contemporary instrumental type of production, and then when he put his guitar on it, it turned into sort of a pop production.
Wow.
As well.
Well, you know.
Yeah, Paul Spear did a great job on that.
Well, you know what? And we will all enjoy that. And come and tell us how the fair went, you know, and we'll rearrange it. And you can tell us how everything's working out. All right, Kevin, I want to say, you know what? Don't work too hard. And I know that's, you know, easier said than done. But we really love your music all around the world. And we're so glad that you came onto the show and shared some of it with us. And we look forward to speaking with you again. You know, and you got to get out here to the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, I've been to the West Coast quite a bit. I've been to Seattle and all over California. I've never been to Oregon, though.
Well, I think you would like it.
Okay.
Okay, it's been so great talking with you, Kevin. And that's Kevin Lucas from the Kevin Lucas Orchestra. And the new CD is called Echoes in the Sand. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Thanks a lot, Ed.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, man.
All right, bye.
Bye.
To learn more about Kevin Lucas, visit us on our website at justimagineinc.com.
People get excited to read author Francina Lucas's books. She spoke about it with the president of Just Imagine Inc., Charlie Stanton.
Welcome, everybody, to another exciting interview on Get Behind Me, Now Stay There. Today, we're really pleased to have on Francina Lucas, who is you probably know as Miss Carmel. She, from her modeling days, she's now an author and has a wonderful new book out, and we're so pleased that she's on to tell us all about it. How are you doing, Francina?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good. So great to talk to you. Tell us a little bit about your book.
My book is basically a fiction book, actually, and it's based on four best friends, four ladies. And the book is, each lady have their own separate lives.
Here's one of the things I just love. On your website, which is, you know, a great website here, the title of your book is called In Love with the Other Man. Now, if that's not a provocative title, I don't know what is. So it's a work of fiction, and it's four women,
yes.
And
yes.
They're in love with somebody.
Well, basically, with the title, In Love with the Other Man, one of the ladies falls in love with someone else, of course. It says In Love with the Other Man, so... Like I said, it's based on four different women. Now I have my four kind of women based on what I really see in life, basically, but I just put it into a book.
Okay. And what made you decide to become an author?
Because I love to write. I always love to write. I love the writing part of it. I like exploring my mind and I always imagine different things and I just like putting it on paper. And so I've always been a writer, but for a long time I did modeling. So I decided to just go ahead and go for what I love. My passion was really writing. So I decided to just start writing again.
Well, that's very cool. Now, you're a model, and you're in Florida now, right?
Yes.
And where do you come from originally? East Coast, Jersey?
I was in Connecticut, New London, Connecticut. My family is based out of North Carolina.
Oh, okay. New London, Connecticut. Very cool town. Very cool town.
I love Connecticut. Connecticut is wonderful. North Carolina is great, too. You know, so go Tar Heels, you know. So that's really good, too. I mean, I love North Carolina. Majority of my family is in North Carolina. You know, I go visit every summer. So I love North Carolina, too. But Florida, I love Florida because of the weather. The weather is wonderful here.
So the book, you know, is a work of fiction. And what kind of a response have you got from it?
Basically, I got great responses off my book. Right now, my book is on online bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Books a Million, some Kindle, and many more. It's also in the library, where you have to request it. Yeah, so great responses. And like I said, I have, for example, I have a character in my book named Denise. Actually, she's a married female, and she loves her husband very much, and she's the peacemaker. Basically, every time the girls have a disagreement, she's always wanted to be the peacemaker. And also has an independent woman. Her name is Keisha, and she's been single for a long period of time. And the reason why she was single was because she was making her last relationship. She was making more money than he was, so he was mentally abusing her because he was jealous. So she had to, you know, let him go. And so she decided to be single and work all the time until she meets a man.
Now, tell us about this character. What is the man that everyone is, you know, falling in love with? What's his name?
Well, the man that is funny because the man that it's not all the women fall in love. Actually, it's one woman that falls in love with this man. And this guy, he's a young guy. He's 25 years old. And, you know, his head is really, you know, well put together. He has a good job. He's young. He's sexy. He's tall. And one of the girls that decides to be with this guy actually is basically married, and she has kids.
Oh, I see. Well, so he's young, he's tall, he's dark, he's handsome, and so you basically, you know, for our listening audience out there, you have described me, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, and I was going back to with the ladies. I have one of the ladies, she's married, but her husband is a cheater, and he never has time for his kids or his wife. He's too busy, you know, being out there in the world and doing what he wants to do. And the woman gets lonely sometimes, you know. She gets lonely and she needs that extra attention. And then when someone gives it to her, then what she's going to do? She's going to, you know.
She's going to act on it.
Exactly.
You know what? It's, you know, it's always been fascinating to me. And, you know, speaking, you know, for the male species, which, you know, I feel like you know, I'm deeply qualified to do. It's amazing, you know, that, you know, in relationships, we always seem to, you know, to get in relationships with, you know, beautiful women. And just for the record, I think every woman is beautiful. I have never met a woman. I don't care what size she is, what color she is, or, you know, how old she is or how young she is. They all have something, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And that's true. And I feel that all women do have something, you know, within themselves. But a woman do need that extra attention. She do want a man to tell her that she's beautiful, you know, and some men, they don't do that. You know, they don't acknowledge their women. They're too focused on their own things, that a woman do want someone to tell her that, hey, you're beautiful, regardless of how they're looking that day. But still, you know, they want that compliment from a man.
Well, you know, and you're an author, and, you know, you've written this book, you know, and, you know, it's a romance novel. And when I'm reading it and, you know, when I'm, you know, thinking about this, what I come up with is that men, you know, for some reason we get into these relationships and we always have, you know, a nice woman there. And for some reason, somewhere along the line, we decide that we're not going to pay attention to them. And then we are shocked. We take them for granted and we are shocked when somebody else who pays them attention, they give them the time of day. And we're like, whoa, what's the matter? What's going on?
Exactly. So now, you know, that all men need to pay attention to their women. You know, because that's so true. You take them for granted. You can't take anyone for granted because you never know what the outcome will be. You can't get mad at it because whatever she decided to do because you take them for granted, that's what it is.
You know, and it just seems to be like the, and you've written about it and so many other people have written about it and you see movies about it. And it's always, you know, that a woman is always, you know, so caring and so loving and so gentle and it just gives everything to her partner. And then after, you know, the initial whirlwind romance wears off, we take them for granted. Then they find somebody else who will appreciate them. And we spend, you know, all this time just going, oh, my gosh, what did I do? Can you give me one more chance? One more chance, baby. One more chance. Come on, man.
Sometimes it's too late. It's too late. You know, when a woman scorns, she scorns. You know, when she's fed up, a woman's fed up. That's it.
I guess that is the... you know, where you get the saying about, you know, you don't know what you have until you lose it, you know?
Exactly.
So do you have any other books in the works?
I do. I have one more, but it's called Rebecca Meets Philip in New York City. And I'm going to release that one probably the later part of this year. But right now I'm trying to really push off In Love with the Other Man. Just to see how it goes. It's only been out in the public for only a month. So I released it. It started launched in December 13th. So it's only been out for a month.
Well, you know, that is fantastic. So is that a dream come true for you, Francina?
Yes, of course. like my mom said, my mom told me, she said, you should do this a long time ago. And, you know, mom was always right. I'm always like, no, I'm going to do this modeling thing. But the modeling thing went good, too. But it's just like I said before, like the writing is my passion. And so I'm going really good with it. So I'm going to continue doing it. And I'm excited for things that's coming forward, you know. So I'm very excited.
Well, you know, it's a wonderful book. And In Love with the Other Man, you know, is just, you know, I have read it and I encourage all of our listeners out there to pick up a copy. But I have a question for you, Francina.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not an author or a musician or anything like that. But, you know, I was just thinking, how cool of a feeling is it to be able, you know, say you walk into the library in Jacksonville and there's your book on the shelf and you're like, oh my gosh, I have arrived?
I get nervous. I get nervous and I don't know why. I'd be like, oh my God. It's like a great feeling because I actually accomplished something really big for myself. It's like people are actually putting, you know, like reading something that I did, you know, and it makes me nervous. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. And I'd be telling my, you know, I'd be like telling my mom, I'm like, I can't believe this. They're really reading it. They really like it. Oh, I'm so excited because, you know, I want the readers to not want to put my book down. And so far, everybody's telling me like once they start reading it, they have to read the whole book.
That four women are in love with.
But yes, I really want to thank you so much with the bottom of my heart, with my whole heart, because actually you're my first interview about the book, and I just really appreciate that really, really much. Very much.
No problem. Like I said, we'll put you up as a featured author on our website, which gets heavy traffic. You'll be on the podcast on iTunes, which gets over 85,000 downloads a week. So you'll get some good action on that. And we're also on PRX, which is Public Radio Exchange. We're on SoundCloud. We're on the radio on KSKQ, 89.FM. So we'll be all over the place.
Okay.
And, you know, hey, it's been a blast talking with you.
Thank you so much.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
To learn more about Francina Lucas, visit us on our website at justimagineitinc.com.
Are you afraid of the dark? A New York Times bestseller. All around the globe, people are being reported dead or missing. In Berlin, a woman vanishes from the city streets. In Paris, a man plunges from the Eiffel Tower. In Denver, a small plane crashes into the mountains. In Manhattan, a body washes ashore from the East River. At first, these seem to be random incidents, but the police soon discover all four of the victims are connected to Kingsley International Group, the largest think tank in the world. Taut with suspense and vivid characterization, full of shocking twists and following an unnervingly realistic premise, Are You Afraid of the Dark? Is Sidney Sheldon at the top of his game.
Berlin, Germany. The Polizei Commandant, Otto Schiefer, two uniformed police officers, and the superintendent of the apartment building, Herr Karl Goetz, were staring at the naked, shriveled body lying at the bottom of the overflowing bathtub. A faint bruise circled her neck. The Polizei Commandant held a finger under the dripping tap. Cold. He sniffed at the empty liquor bottle on the side of the tub and turned to the building superintendent. Her name? Sonja Verbrugge. Her husband is Franz Verbrugge. He is some kind of scientist. She lived in this apartment with her husband. 7 years. They were wonderful tenants. Always paid the rent on time, never any trouble. Everyone loved. He realized what he was about to say and stopped. Did Frau Verbrugge have a job? Yes, at the Cyberlin Internet Cafe. Their people paid to use the computers for... What led you to discover the body? It was because of the cold water tap in the bathtub. I tried to fix it several times, but it would never turn completely off. So, this morning the tenant in the apartment below complained about water dripping through his ceiling. I came up here, knocked on the door, and when there was no answer, I opened it with my passkey. I came into the bathroom and found... His voice choked. A detective came into the bathroom. No liquor bottles in the cabinets, just wine. The commandant nodded. Right. He pointed to the liquor bottle on the side of the tub. Have that tested for fingerprints. Yes, sir.
The commandant turned to Carl Goetz.
Do you know where Herr Verberger is? No, I always see him in the morning when he leaves for work, but...
He made a helpless gesture.
You did not see him this morning.
No.
Do you know if Herr Verberger was planning to take a trip somewhere? No, sir, I do not.
The commandant turned to the detective.
Talk to the other tenants. Find out if Frau Verberger seemed depressed lately, or if she and her husband quarreled, and if she was a heavy drinker. Get all the information you can.
Fast-moving, engrossing. Sidney Sheldon is a master at giving the public what it wants, says the Los Angeles Times. Sidney Sheldon is the author of well over a dozen novels, almost all of which have been number one international bestsellers. His first book, The Naked Face, was acclaimed by the New York Times as the best first mystery of the year and received an Edgar Award. Most of his novels have become major feature films or television miniseries, and there are more than 275 million copies of his books in print throughout the world. For more information about top-selling titles from this award-winning company, go to downpour.com.
The heart is a blue, shoots up through the stony ground.
Get Behind Me Now, Stay There is a Just Imagine It Inc. presentation and was recorded in the Blackstone Audio Inc. studios in Ashland, Oregon. If you would like more information about this show, or if you or someone you know would like to be featured, please call 541-708-0525 or visit justimagineitinc.com. I'm Chrissy McIntyre.
I'm Sarah Simerson.
I'm Holly Lorian Adams.
I'm Jerry Renfro.
I'm Maya Seligman.
And I'm Charlie Stanton, and we like you, so be sure to like us on Facebook, and remember to get behind me.
Now stay there.
It's a beautiful